And so I hope today's message does something to your heart. Pastor Justin, will you pray me in?
Lord God, it's obvious that your presence is here. Lord, I pray that we would not escape without feeling that, Lord, not for the tingly Pentecostal feeling, but so that you could change us, Lord. I pray that we would allow you access to change us today. Lord, those questioning in their faith, those needing refreshing in their faith, those with no faith, those stagnant in their faith, Lord, would you awaken and change and move something in us by your Spirit through the Word, that you would make Pastor Sean be a vessel to speak your Word, and let us be vessels to hold it and not to do something dumb with it, but to be lights using it. Let it be fuel to our fire that would be a city on a hill that would do your good work. Spirit, move in this house today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Ever have God take you outside your normal thought? I'm a person, I don't know if you're like this. I like things a certain way. I like my tablet turned a certain direction. I like to read it from top to bottom, not this way. I like to stand when I preach. I like to come off stage. Another mistake I made last week. Yeah, Mark caught it. He goes, that hurt, didn't it? And I said, yeah. Got to keep going, though. Ooh, I got to stand. Definitely gonna, you know, so stubborn, you know. But a cost is always paid, right, for freedom, whether it's emotional freedom, spiritual freedom, physical freedom, financial freedom. A cost sometimes, always must be paid for true freedom. I have a slide. This is sermon is called Freedom Week. I have a slide up there. Is it up there? I can't tell. I got instruments, but hopefully it is. Freedom isn't free. A cost is always paid. Read it with me. Freedom isn't free. A cost is always paid. A cost is always paid. Disciples, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you just read that with me, I want you to say this with me. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's jump into true freedom, what it is and what it is not. John 19:30 in the New Living Translation. John 19:30 in the New Living. When Jesus had tasted it, they put some bitter wine up to him. He said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That word finished is this in the Greek. It's teleo. It means paid for or completed. It's finished. I did my job. You know, I kind of felt that last week. I felt a little, you know, wasn't so martyrdom to be on an ankle versus crucified bearing the sins of the world. But I went, you know, I called my one buddy and I said, you see this game seven? You know, Tyrese Halliburton went in. You know, if you don't know, you don't know. But he went in with an injury. And they said, he shouldn't have done that. I go, no, he did his job. He couldn't have sat there and go, we lost and I didn't do my job. So last week I wanted to do my job. And I said, okay, it's finished. I get that. I'm in. You know, we had Easter and Resurrection Week not long ago. We had the Red Letter series just a minute ago. Jesus' words. And we know that Jesus came to forgive sin. And we know it cost him his life. Those are things that we know as disciples. But do we know that I cost him his life? We forget sometimes. It's better to say we. It feels more comfortable. We cost him. It's better to actually go, they cost him. They did. The sinners of the world, them. They costed him. Yeah. No. Say, I cost him his life. I have a slide. Wise guy. Freedom isn't a free-for-all. Freedom isn't a free-for-all. I'm American. I can do what I want when I want. We're not two-year-olds. It's all about me. Freedom is always free when it's all about me. Right? Freedom is not a free-for-all. I'm free so I can do whatever I want. I'm free. Freedom is, real freedom is, I have a slide. Real freedom is liberating, truly liberating. Freedom was a big point in Jesus' purpose. He came to bear the sins of the world. Why? So that we could be free. This morning, Hannah was singing out, we can have a direct relationship with God. That's what he desired. These are his purpose, right? Luke 4, 18 through 21. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to Jesus. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, so sins and oppression, the commonality of all mankind, I'm going to free them from that." He came to free me from that. This is Freedom Week. Don't forget the basic things that God did in your life. Don't think you know them. Remember and be grateful for the freedom. Remember what you used to be. For a second, rewind the VCR footage. Most of you want to probably burn it. I don't want to see that again. If you've been freed from something, raise your hand because you're free. He made you free. Free. It says that the oppressed will be set free. And at that time, at the time, the Lord's favor has come. And he rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant and sat down. I love that. Like, that's a mic drop back in the day. He handed the scroll and said, "Boom, I'm doing this right now." You know, he drops it. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him like, "Whoa, did you just ever have?" I hope you have that moment in worship sometimes. I know it's powerful to have a moment where you just feel God's presence, right? And you can't help but just look at him like God's here right now. Every once in a while, I'll bother William in the middle of his worship. That was another reason I wanted to be here. William's baptism. My friend William was getting baptized. I wasn't going to miss that. Devil, I am not missing William's baptism. I got to crawl there down Ironwood, take a left through the construction. On my face, I'm going to be there for my friend William. Why? Because he's decided to be a disciple. And who am I to not be there and stand with him, one leg or not? Anyways, he wrote the scroll, dropped the mic, all eyes were on him, and then he began to speak to them. "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." Say fire. Yeah. John 8, 32. Jesus said, say red letters. This Jesus said to the people who believe in him, "You are truly my disciples if you're truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching." Oh, man, I know that. I got freedom. Jesus, don't expect me to. That's just a little thing. I don't got to pay attention to that. It's fine. I don't got to. I can be grumpy to my wife every morning. It's okay because she knows I love her and she serves Jesus and I serve Jesus. So it's just fine. Pick your thing. It's okay. It's okay. Whatever you're saying it's okay to, you know, it's not okay. Where you got off a little bit of faithfulness somewhere in your relationship with him. It's that time of season to check that. Why? Because it matters. Little things that we don't pay attention to will trip you up. And then your freedom goes away. It's like that. I was free, but now I'm not. I've seen so many people that had their AA cards. How long you been free? 6 years, 242 days, and 38 hours. Awesome. And I've seen guys within a week go back to zero. And it started with, "I just have a taste of that." And a taste of that led to their destruction. You never see that happen? "You're my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." West Side, you ready? Say, what sets you free? What sets you free, East Side? Say the truth. East Side, say, what sets you free? There you go. That's the church. I love that. The truth will set you free. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. Slavery comes in many forms. Slavery comes in many forms. What do you mean you're going to set us free? And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth." Thank you, always. Sometimes the truth isn't easy to hear. I love it when he tells me the truth for someone else. It's easier for me. "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Everyone who sins, everyone, say everyone. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Why? Because it's something you don't want to do. You know that God said he's cursed that, and he delivered you from it, and he wants you free from it, and he died for that very purpose, but yet you want to go back and taste it. That means you become slave to it. It's got you like an addiction. Man, I remember. I remember Bucky Jeter. Love that guy. I walked in the post office one day. I was in that moment where I was living in the world and going hard, and it was paying a cost to me, but I was stubborn enough, and at the same time, I was trying to hear God, maybe. And this man of God walked into where I was working and sat down, and I was hungover and had my head on the table, and I probably smelled like last night. You know, but I came to work. I was on time. I was just waiting to clock in. My head's down. Felt like it was 400 pounds. Ever have one of those days? Your mouth thick, dry tongue. Stuck to the table, maybe. You know, you're just not in a good place. And he said these powerful words to me. He didn't say anything about Jesus that time. I knew he loved Jesus. That was evident in how he lived and when he talked to people. All he said to me was this, "Brother man, that ain't no way to live. No way to live. You're a slave. You're living like a slave, Kaposi. I've been never born a slave. No one tells me what to do. Yeah, you're a slave to you." Lots of slavery. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. And if the son sets you free, you are truly free. If the son sets you free, you are truly free. Say Freedom Week. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. I will never get used to sitting here like this. I feel like I tried to wear one of my jackets that had patches on the elbows. Yeah, I always get like a big bubble pipe. Like, you know, little booklet. Today, readings with Uncle Sean, you know. Just didn't have time to throw it together, you know. It was awful hot. I got out my suit coat with had the patches on the sleeve, but it's made of corduroy. And I thought if I wore it in the go, Pastor also didn't hurt his ankle. He broke his mind. It's hot outside. So I was like, well, scratch that outfit, you know. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. His dear son who purchased our freedom and he forgave our sins. Say, freedom isn't free. There's always a cost. God alone grants true freedom, our heavenly citizenship, you know. Let me say, I'll look to this. This is going to be harsh, especially as Americans, but we need to hear it. Our heavenly citizenship is way more important than our earthly one. Your heavenly citizenship is way more important than your earthly. It's way more important. We get a lot of other things that we're proud to be of that shouldn't be above. When you have a choice between being a good American or being a good kingdom of heaven, be a good kingdom of heaven. So sometimes those things don't line up. Acts 13, 38. So let it be clearly known by you, brothers, that through him, forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes, who acknowledges Jesus as Lord and Savior, and follows him. Or is there a lot of acknowledging, yeah, he's Lord and Savior, but how are we doing with the following, right? That's the part. Those are those little things. I used to be so good. I've been a follower for 62 years, 380 hours and 7 minutes. How are we doing with the small things? Where's our light at? You know, where's your flip-flop? You know, where's your flip-flop? Believers, those who acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior and follow him, they're justified and declared free. They're justified and declared free. Free of guilt from all things. Say, that is awesome. That is awesome. That's free guilt from all things. You don't even know. I can live in a world of guilt over so many things. I don't know if you're like that, but just like it, guilt attracts you like you're a magnet going through an MRI. And now you do the MRI machine, they're checking for metal clippings and any shavings in your eyes. I'm thinking, oh, I can't remember. Maybe I don't. Oh, never. Let's go. We got to do it. Yeah, if it pulls out of my eye, it does. Let's go get this done. But if you, they wouldn't let my walker in there because I've been sucked into the machine. Sometimes that's how guilt is for us. And we see, we remember. We knew, he said, I'm not just going to free you from sin. I want to free you from the guilt of all that. I'm thankful for freedom from the sin and the slavery. Amen. But I'm so thankful to be free from the guilt. It's freedom week. You got guilt you've been holding on to? It's freedom week. I already knew that. I've heard that before. This is the same old, this is Jesus 101. Yeah, it is. Why? Because you didn't have time to prepare. No, I had a whole week. It's freedom week. And some of those things that we let go and loose could take us out. One little stone took out a big giant, right? Don't let a little stone take you out. Not now. He purchased a high cost for our freedom. It's time to get rid of the guilt. Free of guilt from all things. Good. I'm glad he put that in there. Because when I first came to him, I had to bring up a list. I did. I don't know if you like that. Because I heard this. And I believed it. But I had to go to him and go, but what about this? Lord, did you forgive me for that? Yeah, I said everything. And I knew that about that anyways. Yeah, but I just want to remind you, that was terrible. Anybody else do that? Need forgiveness a whole bunch of times from God to feel forgiven? Yeah, thank you for those hands. I had to go a couple times, Lord. It's like, I forgive you. I told you. My freedom, I paid for it. Free of guilt from all things from which you could not be justified. And freed of guilt through the law of Moses. You can't work hard enough. I learned that this week too. I feel the things I don't do them excellently well, everything, that I'm letting everybody down. But that transfers into your relationship with God. Then you're earning it again. I got to preach well. I got to teach well. I got to do this well. I got to do that well. I got to be a dad well. I got to be a husband well. I got to be well. I got to do that. I got to throw horseshoes well. I got to be well. I got to do well. Anybody? The law of Moses, the law of Sean doesn't get me closer to God. Say, Jesus is awesome. Romans 6, 18 through 23. And having been the past, having been set free from sin, you have become the slaves of righteousness. Of what? A slave of righteousness, of conformity to God's will and purpose, of conforming to God's will. Oh, that's right. I remind William, Pastor, that's right, last week. You're going to now be slave to a different kingdom. You're being dead to what you were slave to, William. But now you've got a new master. So freedom isn't a free-for-all. I'm free from sin. I go, whoop, do what I want. I don't have to have any guilt. I can do this without guilt. Jesus wiped it off. I can do this without guilt. Jesus wiped it away. I can do what I want, when I want. I can do what I want. Guilt. That's not freedom. That's slavery and ignorance. And having been set free from sin, you now become slaves of righteousness, of conformity to God's will and God's purpose. I am speaking in familiar human terms because of your natural limitations, your spiritual immaturity. Say, oh, them. No one likes to hear they're spiritually immature. It could be offensive. Jesus would never be offensive. Not sweet Jesus. He carries lambs, walks in water, and feeds the people, and flips the table and tells the truth. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. For just as you presented your bodily members as slaves to impurity and to moral lawlessness, brother man, that's no way to live, leading to further lawlessness, so now offer your members, your abilities, offer your talents as slaves of righteousness, leading to sanctification. Sanctification that is being set apart for God's purpose. Whatever you are using to serve the devil, he said, I'm going to clean it up. I want to use it. You're going to be a slave for me, and I want to use that to change the world. I'm going to sanctify you for a purpose. I'm not just like, oh, I'm going to cut all this crumbs off you. No, I'm polishing all that garbage off you that's killing you. Why? Because you have a purpose. I want to display you as a city on a hill, and right now you are a bit dingy. You need a power washing. Yes, Lord. And those shrubs need to be changed. Oh, yes, Lord. And that's a smashed up sidewalk for a city on a hill. Yes, Lord. You picking on me? No, I'm sanctifying you. Why? Because I'm setting you up to be a city of refuge for some of my life. You're going to come into your life, and they're going to come to the city of your heart, and they're going to find the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords there, and they're going to start their process. He says, I am the church, right? Sanctification is being set apart for God's purpose. When you were slaves of sin, you're free in regard to righteousness. You had no desire to conform to God's will. You know how many times I heard God's will for me in the scriptures from the Catholic high school I went to? They're absolutely on right truth. And I didn't want to hear a minute of it. Not a minute. I didn't care what the drinking age was. Not a minute. I don't care what was legal and illegal. Not a minute. I don't care what the dress code was. I'll end up in the office later. It's Friday night. Write me up. Not a minute. How many of us that way when we are living not for Jesus and people in our lives, even if they did it nicely, even if they're nice about it, how many of us were like, eh, I'll fight you? I know, Mark. You better raise your hand. I see double hands back in the background. Double hands. You know what I'm saying? You had no desire to conform to God's will. So what benefit did you get at that time? How was life then? That ain't one way to live, brother, man. So what benefit did you get at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? What benefit were they? I don't know. I'm cutting out. Is it the sitting position? Am I moving too much? My shimmy going? You know, I don't know. Say none. None, for the outcome of those things is death. The outcome of those things is death. But now, say now, since you have been set free from sin and have become willing slaves to God, you have your benefit. That by itself is a benefit. If you ever were a slave to something in the world and you're not a slave to it now, that would have been enough. That would have been enough. He's done 1,000 more things for me, but that by itself would have been way more than I deserved and way more than enough. Anybody say amen to that? Your benefit resulting in sanctification. Your benefit being made holy and set apart for God's purpose. That's our benefit. And the outcome of this is what? Eternal life. Hey, there's a paycheck. There's a paycheck for serving God. Sometimes it's hard to see this end of the spectrum. For the wages of sin is death. Payment's always required. There's a wage to live in how we want to live. That's not what he asked us to do. There's a payment for that. It's death. That's the wages of sin. Right? The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, that is the remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus paid for my forgiveness. Jesus paid for my eternal life. Jesus purchased my freedom. Without Jesus, there's no real freedom. I love the freedoms of our country and the things that many people have died for. And many of us have served and continue to serve for the freedom. But it pales in comparison to being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 12. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourselves. Little things can take you out. Don't fool yourselves. Remember you got delivered. Don't fool yourselves. You can't go back to the bar. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, that's fairly clear. Don't fool yourselves. Those who worship idols, no, worship idols. That's not for us for sure today. We don't go around worshiping idols. Okay. I want to ask New Season Christian Fellowship some questions. Can you name some things that might be like idols in other people's lives? Not yours. Can you name anything that might be, you would consider it maybe an idol in their life? Anybody know somebody you think maybe their cell phone's an idol in their life? It gets all their first attention. When they wake up in the morning, it's social media first. It's in the middle of your conversation. It's in the middle of a crisis. Anybody know that a cell phone could be an idol? How about SportsCenter? How about sports? Both played and watched. How about your habits and your routines and your desires? It's being clear. Don't fool yourselves. those who indulge in sexual sin and worship idols. Paychecks can be idols. Your paycheck can be your man. Now, your paycheck can be your idol. Don't fool yourselves. Those who worship idols or who commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves, stealing for anyone according to his word. Don't fool yourselves. Stealing can be done a lot of ways. Check his word. Are you stealing things from God that he's asked you for? Are you like, yeah, I say on my taxes I make, you know, $48, but I really make $250. Pay to Caesar's what Caesar's. I don't like taxes. I'm not promoting the government getting more of your stuff. Find your loopholes. Get a good tax guy. But I'm talking about being honest. I'm talking about stealing. I'm talking about if there's a cookie there and someone else hasn't had a cookie afterwards like me because I'm hobbling, I'll consider it theft. Just saying. Which goes to the next one. Don't fool yourself or greedy people. Now, most of us think that's not us. You know why? Because we think that's just a wealthy problem. The wealthy are greedy. No, you took six of those cookies and Pastor had none. What is that all about? Don't fool yourself. Or drunkards or those who are abusive or cheap people. None. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And here's a beautiful saying. Some of you were once like that. Say were once. I was once like that. That's what came out of me. Survival of the fittest. You know, when I was trying to get ready this morning and I was trying to get all around, I had my crutches, I had that little wheelie gig. I got my office. Nick got me. I got stuff. But at the end of the day, I got to be like a ninja. I got to figure out how to maneuver around in that little tiny bathroom. What do I put my hand on? You know, you got to figure out what to move around. And I'm grateful that I've been an adapter most of my life. A lot of my adaptations that I survived with were not godly. I used to be like that. That list, I was in that list. You know, that's not the list you want to be on in the Word, but I was on that list. And many people struggle with that list, but you don't want to be on that list. If you're his disciple, he's sending a warning out to the body of Christ, saying, if you love me and I'm first, I need those things again. Don't think they're so small that your freedoms are an opportunity to be foolish. Don't fool yourself. But we're not like that. We're not like that. But we were cleansed. We were made holy. We were made right with God. Made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember that day? Remember that day you found him? He's like, all right, I got you, man. But what about this? But I got this, man. I got you. You really do, Lord. You really love me. You really came and did this, and you saw it for the first time. Remember that moment? If you don't, close your eyes and try to remember the moment, that first time you saw who he was. The Lord Jesus Christ, and by his Spirit, you say, I'm allowed to do anything. Sounds teenage snarky to me. Yeah, when I was 17, I knew everything. I knew everything at 17. Don't tell me what to do. I knew everything. I know. Don't tell me what I can do. I don't have to drive 55. I know the song. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. There's no way to live, brother man. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Don't slave yourself up again. Don't transfer slavery. If you're going to transfer slavery, transfer to the master, the only one who deserves your devotion like that. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure. That's part on us, right? Now make sure. Make sure that you stay free. Why? Don't let little flip-flops blow out your pop-tops, you know. Stay free. Don't let that, oh man, how long has it been since you read your Bible? I know the word. I read the whole Bible once. That's awesome. You should probably turn around and let it read you now. You read it, let it read you. Take your time. It's going to be wonderful and a challenge. So Christ has truly set you free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law and performing for me. Oh, don't, yeah, but you know, I don't do what I used to anymore. I serve in the church 6 days a week, and I Stop. If that's your heart, if that's, I'm proving my, no, that's not what he's talking about. Proven isn't that. That's not freedom. That's just now becoming a slave to a new set of rules and standards that try to gain your own righteousness by what we do for God. And he said, I paid for it. You can't. But live in it. You know, Dr. Heidi always has these analogies on counseling. It's like, if I bought you a new coat, and you love that coat. It's a coat you wanted on Amazon, and you got it, and they got it in there, and I delivered it to your house. And you're like, thank you so much for the coat. And you stuffed it under the bed, and it stayed there forever. Would that make any sense at all? No, I set you free. Live in it. I got you that coat. Put it on. Style outside the door with that, you know? Don't get caught up in things again. Left side, right side, east side, west side. Say this with me together as one side. You ready? Say, stay free. Stay free. Galatians 5, 13 through 16. For you have been called to live in freedom. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. You ready? Say, true freedom serves God's love to other people. For the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment. All the law you're trying to fulfill, all the things you're trying to do for me, all the impressive work you're doing for me can be summed up in one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Man, that's the origin of church hurt most places. You see pastors sitting down in the congregation. I never saw a pastor sitting down. He was wearing a hat. Man, bite, 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 bite. You didn't see that? Anna had a blanket on. Is that so cold in here? She got to bring a blanket. Orange blanket. Doesn't even, it matches the carpet. She all thinks she's that because she matches the carpet. I go home, post up. Some of us have to match the carpet. Facebook hashtag. You know, watch out. Watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Flashback, 5 minutes. Remember this? First in Colossians, don't want to put it up, 13, 14. You have transferred your services from darkness to light. Now in God's kingdom. Remember that. Okay. Say Freedom Week. James 1:25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That seems so simple. Like, that's one-on-one Jesus, isn't it? How often do we have a hard time with one-on-one Jesus? Something about that. God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, wait a minute, should I read that? If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Ah! That one can sting. Anybody have tongue problems? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, which matters most, right? Pure and genuine religion looks like this. It looks like this. Well, I think it looks like this. And my church looks like this. Nunya. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress. In their distress. You see people in distress, you help them. If you can help someone in distress, you help them. You'd be shocked, though, sometimes how the body of Christ in those moments, they become dependent on the fellowship of believers for their livelihood when they're not in distress. They just need to get to work. I've seen that drain the body of Christ, but I also have seen this. People know other people's needs, and we walk right by it. It's not good. It's not pure religion. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father is also this. This is the part. We can all go, yeah, take care of widows and orphans. Anybody not think taking care of widows and orphans is a good idea? Because I'd like to see your hand now. If you don't think, like, we should never take care of widows and orphans, I don't care if they're distressed. Anybody? Well, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, you're all on the same page. Great church. I love it here. If someone raised their hand, I'd be like, man, I got to have a meeting at the service. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father is also refusing to let the world corrupt you. Refusing. Having an attitude of defiance. No. I'm punching back. No. I'm standing when I feel like sitting. No. I'm blocking that app. No. I'm going to apologize for this. No. I'm refusing to let the world corrupt me. I want my religion pure. I don't want to be religious, but I want it pure. Right? So what is God's will for us and the will for our new freedom? When we got set free, what was his purpose in it? I love that he loved us just to set us free. I like to see my kids happy just because they're happy, you know? I made you happy. Yeah, so why? You can go skim the pool for me. See that donut? Go eat it up. Yeah, isn't it wonderful? Drink your coffee on your way out to skim the pool. No. I love God does stuff because he loves us. But he also has purpose in our life. Without purpose, we don't make it. Got to have purpose. 1 Peter 2:15. It is God's will that you have. It's God's will that you. It's God's will that your honorable lives would silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. You know the best way to crush a lie is live the truth.